And I'll tell you the reason I say that.
That's how you start the hour with that statement?
I'm going to tell you why. Sean Morash is filling in for Tiki. I mean, he's not filling. He kind of is. He moved up a chair with Tiki out. Tiki will be back in a few days. But at 4 o'clock on most days, we're on TV. We're on SNY. So I say, hello, SNY. And I appreciate our partnership with SNY. I love SNY. But the one thing I don't like to do is watch our show while we're on the show.
Right.
So yesterday with Tommy, did they take the show yesterday?
Yeah, we were
They
on.
Did? Look at that!
I never stare at the screen while we're doing a show.
I know, but our TV screen is on SNY, which makes me think Sean, or maybe it's Tommy who's a narcissist, needed to stare at himself the entire time. So I have flipped off SNY. Now, I'm not suggesting the audience do that. You should keep SNY
on. Wait a minute. SNY was just on our TV.
Yeah, I don't want it on.
You think that I put it on?
Correct, so you could stare at yourself.
I think SNY's probably been on since last night's Met game in here.
Is that, you think that's what it is?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It was on during our show yesterday, and I'm not
And you probably stared at yourself, you narcissist.
I'm not a narcissist.
Yes, you are.
I do like to stare a little bit just to be like, do I really look like that? But I wouldn't say I'm a narcissist.
Okay. So you are a narcissist. Either way, I needed to get that off the screen because I see enough of myself looking in a mirror that I don't need it on TV. But hello, SNY. And by the way, speaking of SNY, let's have some fun with this. Our SNY Fan Choice poll is sponsored by Dunkin', the official coffee of Evan and Tiki. Earlier today, I did some fun stuff with my youngest son, Spence. Went to a park. We went to a few other places. And I also went to a Dunkin'. And I, because he loves Dunkin' Donuts.
I got Dunkin' this morning, too.
Look at you. So I said, Spencey, whatever donut you want. Want to guess what my four-year-old son's favorite donut is?
Ooh, strawberry frosting.
Go with strawberry frosting.
I'm going to go Bavarian cream.
Bavarian cream.
Chocolate frosted.
Look at that. This is why Rosie, who rarely speaks, but when he speaks, sometimes it works. You are correct. Chocolate frosted.
Interesting.
He knows children very well. I don't know why, but he does. Doesn't have any kids, but apparently knows a lot about kids.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome. Anyhow, the SNY Fan Choice poll is very simple. Will the Yankees miss the playoffs this season? Yes or no? To cast your vote, visit SNY.tv/vote. Now, before we get back to your calls on the Yankees and the Mets, I was not here yesterday, but I wanted to enjoy some of my favorite radio program. And that, of course, is Tommy and Sean. And I tuned in, and I had to shut it off because I was so upset. I was so upset. I don't mind making fun of me. I don't mind mocking me. Don't mind any of it. I have a good sense of humor. Right, Tommy? I don't care about any of that stuff.
I'm a loser.
But here's what I care about.
All right.
When you put an opinion in my mouth that I haven't even offered yet.
Can't wait for this over-exaggeration.
Trust me. I'll give you my opinion. So yesterday, I'm listening to Tommy and Sean, and they are breaking down, rightfully so, worthy topic, Russell Wilson getting booed at SummerSlam. And he was. I was there. In fact, Russ was close to me. I was sitting in very bougie seats, and I saw them come over with the Giants belt. They gave it to him, and he posed, I think with his kids or with some kids. And Russell Wilson got booed out of the ballpark. That's a true story. And I have not offered an opinion on the subject, yet yesterday, Sean Morash wanted to create an opinion on the subject for me.
I think Evan's take was going to be, boy, Giant fans turning on Russell Wilson, they want Dart already. Not my take.
Well, I'm glad it's not your take. What makes you think that's my take?
All right, again, the words were not giving you an opinion. I think Evan's take would have been. I just think your take would have been. That's not telling you definitively, so apologize.
Thank you. I appreciate the apology.
No. You apologize to me.
Excuse me?
The whole setup is that I'm a narcissist. I said, I think that would be your take.
By the way, this just hit me. I've just come up with a really cool new segment.
Sean's a narcissist?
We guess the opinions of people before they've offered the opinion.
I love that idea.
Actually,
that is a great segment.
Isn't that great?
Tremendous.
I think we were able to do it recently when the Knicks fired Tom Thibodeau.
Yes.
We all played the game of, what will Giannotti's opinion be? And we guessed, and then we listened to it. What will BT's opinion be? So it takes a unique spot to do it, but I kind of love the idea of guessing people's opinion. So your guess of my opinion on Russell Wilson being booed at SummerSlam is that Giant fans have turned on Russell Wilson?
Or they want Dart. Now, can I give you the background on why I came to the conclusion that I thought that would be your opinion?
And I will offer my opinion in a second. Go ahead.
I didn't just pull that out of thin air. I was obviously not aware. I only watched the final match, the Cena match on Sunday night. Didn't see any of this. I was unaware that Russell Wilson got booed until you texted our show group chat something to the effect of Russell Wilson got booed at SummerSlam.
I did,
LOL,
yes.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
For you to take the time to text it, two things happened to me. Number one, I thought that you were in, and I was with you yesterday. I forgot it was me and Tommy till I got on the train because your text led me to believe we were going to talk about that. And number two, I prepped myself on Evan sending that because he wants me as the Giant fan to take the nibble that Giant fans don't like Russell Wilson.
I only sent it because you're a Giant fan, Tommy's a Giant fan, Tiki's a Giant fan who has an interesting relationship with Russell Wilson. I think he reminded us a few times he thinks he's washed.
Not anymore.
And so I offered that because I thought you'd find it interesting.
We did, and thank you. We did a good half hour on it yesterday.
All right, well, there you go. That's not my opinion on Russell Wilson being booed.
Okay.
My opinion on Russell Wilson being booed is very simple. The WWE has done a great job of making wherever they have their big events a landing spot internationally and nationally. So I am convinced, I wouldn't say like 90%, but a majority of the people at MetLife Stadium over the weekend are not New Yorkers. They're just not. Now, some of us are. I am. There were plenty of people that listened to the show, so we spoke. I'm sure they're New Yorkers. Mm-hmm. But I would have to say that the majority, I'll go with 60%. Maybe it's even that high.
So Sunday night got 56,000 people. Out of that many people, how many people do you think are not New Yorkers?
I would say about 35,000.
But even if they are a New Yorker, as we know, they may not necessarily be a Giant fan.
I'll get there. Yeah. I'll get there. Slow down.
I just want to make sure that you have your numbers properly because we didn't go over them before the show.
I'm going to break it all down for you. So first of all, majority of people, we can quibble about the numbers, are not New Yorkers. They come from destinations.
Could you imagine flying in for that event and finding out that the stadium's actually nowhere near the inside of Manhattan?
Well, hopefully you do your research. Yeah. I mean, it's like us going to Glendale, Arizona, thinking it was in downtown Phoenix.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I think that's how the WWE does it. That's how they're able to draw these huge crowds. Number two, Tommy's right. We are not all Giant fans. This is not a monotheistic town when it comes to football. And I don't mean that just about the Jets. I mean that with all sorts of teams.
Like, sure.
There are a lot of Cowboy fans who live here. There are a lot of Steeler fans who live here. There are Raider fans, Dolphin fans. I mean, look at our radio station.
Yeah, we have a Viking, a Falcon, and a Cowboy fan full time.
Think about that. Our midday show features a Falcon fan.
Cowboys, yeah.
You're right. Our morning show features a Viking fan and a Cowboy fan. Our nighttime show features a Cowboy fan. Like, it's not, our station represents it very well, right? So, how many Giant fans are actually in the building?
Thank you.
That's number two. But here's number three. And I'm not sure what your opinion was, but I'll say it. New York Giant fans are stuck up, rich people that don't want to watch professional wrestling. Because in their mind, Tommy, they think they're too good for professional wrestling.
Thank you.
Giant fans are too snobby, too rich, too nose in the air to ever hang out with the real people at MetLife Stadium and watch wrestling. Why are you clapping?
Because this was my take. Giant fans are more mature human beings. They are not savages.
Is that what I said?
You said it in a different way. See, the only thing I'll quibble with you is not every Giant fan is like this rich, you know, I have to spend all my weekends in the Hamptons. There's plenty of them. There are more hoity-toity Giant fans than there are Jet fans, there's no doubt. There's still a big blue-collar Giant fan base, but that blue-collar Giant fan base, I hate to say it, they're too good for wrestling. It's a children's act.
Too good for wrestling. See, here's what's funny.
The adult wrestling fans, I think Jet and Cowboy fans represent well. They're in their 40s. They're not married.
I can't speak on the Cowboys, but I can speak on the Jet fan. We are blue-collar. We are the regular guy. We are more likely ordering Netflix to watch Raw than some sappy movie. So
right. Giant fans are actually Netflix and chilling. You guys are Netflixing with nobody watching Raw.
See, you're taking the same thing. You're just making it negative. I agree with you. You're just framing it in a bad way. I'd rather hang out with the guy I described who's a Jet fan than the guy you described as a Giant fan. But I think we're very different.
We are different.
And I'll further this. So, at MetLife Stadium, and I think I may have texted this at you guys, I couldn't believe the amount of Mets jerseys as compared to Yankee jerseys.
I can.
I thought I was at a Met game. In fact, not kidding, during the Becky Lynch match, there was a chant. You want to know what the chant was? And it was loud. And Jet
heard it. Soto?
Nope. Pete Alonso.
I mean, again.
Pete Alonso. So, I think the Met Yankee fan has that same dynamic where the Met fan is more likely to be a professional wrestling fan because the Met fan is, you know.
Oh, look. However
you want to describe it. He says savage. I say good people.
All you need is to be in Citi Field or even watching SNY when they show an Edwin Diaz entrance with the trumpets going off and the kind of people playing the air trumpets.
Come on.
When that scan of the crowd goes, you know, as soon as those people go home with their Pete Alonso jerseys, there is some kind of D-Generation X shirt sitting in their drawers. Like, that is just...
But do you think what you're saying is a negative? Because I love it.
It's not.
No, I agree. You're right.
And I hope. And I hope that Jet and Met fans aren't taking it this way. Be proud. Own who you are.
I think Jet and Met fans are realer. I think that's what you're describing. They're realer people.
And there's a certain jealousy and empathy here. I think they're more childlike, but in a fun way. I think Giant fans and Yankee fans at some point in their lives face the realization they have to grow up.
Yeah, they're rich and snobby. Is that what you're saying?
Jet fans just live in this, I don't care if I'm pathetic my whole life. I love rooting for my losing teams and wrestlers.
So Giant and Yankee fans, rich, snobby, and out of touch.
Not always rich.
Jet and
mature.
And Jet and Met fans. Yeah, we're, you call us savages? Is that what you say?
Yeah.
So we clearly are on opposite sides in which we actually agree with what we're saying. We just frame it very differently.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Tommy is like the kid of a divorced parent because he is a Giant fan, but he's also a Met fan. So he's kind of, I mean, this has to hurt. Like, you don't know what to do.
And a huge wrestling fan. This whole conversation yesterday and today just has me so perplexed.
What?
Because I can't help but... Sean is taking so many backhanded compliments at the Met fan and at the Jet fan.
He is, and wrestling fans, too.
And I think, Evan, you have done a great job of spinning it in a positive. So
it is a positive.
That. But what
this is the most me and Evan have, by the way, agreed on something.
You also were a lot nicer today than you were yesterday. You said that basically all Jet fans, and now you're clumping in the Met fans,
I didn't say all. I never
can't
said all.
Get a date, live with their parents, and they're in 40,
Tommy,
they're immature, they're losers.
Tommy,
you said this.
No, you are doing at times, and I love you, Gallo, what our digital team does. They like to clip 45 seconds out of a 7-minute segment and make it look heartless. No, I said there are outliers in every fan base, but there are a lot of Jets fans, more so than a lot of Giants fans, that end up, you know, kind of single in their 40s and wondering why they can't find a date, and it's because they haven't been able to give up wrestling tonight.
It's not the single in the 40s thing. That part is where you're wrong. The Jet fan and the Met fan is just more blue collar. I think that's what you're trying to say.
Less mature.
And they're wrestling fans, and there's more mix of Met fans and wrestling fans than Yankee fans and wrestling fans. And I noticed that at MetLife Stadium. I saw a million Met jerseys. It was weird. And the reason I say it's weird is, I'm not new to our area. There are more Yankee fans than Met fans. I don't try to argue that. So if I walk around New York City in general, there's going to just be more Yankee stuff.
Look.
And I didn't feel that way at MetLife Stadium, and I thought that was really interesting.
If you could take every big pay-per-view, the SummerSlam, the WrestleMania, and if it didn't hurt ticket sales and they could just call it the pathetic convention, that's what they would call it. And that's where the Met and Jet fans show up to. And that's fine.
Now he's being a bad guy.
I'm not being a bad guy. I'm being honest.
And you used
to. We have Fanatics Fest. We have Comic-Con. Those big wrestling events are pathetic conventions.
And you used to love professional wrestling.
I did. And then, you know, something happened.
You grew up.
I got to 11th grade and I realized I'm going to stop making a decision between Raw and Monday Night Football. I'm growing up. I like football more than I like wrestling. Sunday nights, I'm not investing in these pay-per-views anymore. I need to grow up. It's not the cool thing
to do.
Didn't
you have a WrestleMania party this year?
It was a Royal Rumble party
that I attended.
Didn't you also dress up as Rikishi?
Because I'm not going to be a bad guy.
So you went to a dress-up party, which I assume was littered with really cool people. And now you have the fact that you insulted the majority of our audience all to defend
them.
The guy that's going to probably play 6 games for the Giants in his career, and the only reason he's here is so he could be more of a celebrity. That's what this boils down to, because I bet you there were some Giant fans there booing Russell Wilson.
Well, I want to go to that. I don't think Giant fans are sick of Russell Wilson necessarily, but I do think that Giant fans, for the most part, I mean, obviously you could be different, they don't have any attraction, affinity, or loyalty to him.
No, he's a placeholder for Jackson Dart.
He's a placeholder, and he's a guy who maybe throughout your time watching football, you weren't a big fan of, you know, from his time in Seattle. So I think that there is a chance, especially for the casual Giant fan, when they see Russell Wilson on TV, especially with that fake-looking smile and the fake belt, they're more likely to boo him.
I think he hasn't garnered off enough for them to boo him. They just may not be clapping and cheering to outweigh the boo. You know what I mean? I think there's an indifference towards Russell Wilson right now.
Yeah, I think that indifference is a fair word. But overall, SummerSlam was fun.
Hey guys, Russell here.
Except I had a folding chair robbed from me.
What?
Yeah.
You brought your own folding chair in?
No, so the way it works is I was sitting ringside, which I'm very appreciative of. It was eighth row, not like ringside, but eighth row. And when you sit ringside at a WWE or an AEW event, you get to take home your chair. And the chair is beautiful. It's designed with the logo of the event. And you take it home. I've done it before.
So it's almost like a VIP giveaway?
Kind of, yeah. I think that's a fair comparison.
I'm shocked that's allowed.
Oh, it's been going on for years. Like a very, very long time.
They allow people to walk out of there with steel chairs?
That is correct.
All revved up after watching wrestling hit the parking lot?
I guess
does sound like a major lawsuit waiting to happen?
I guess they figure those who are leaving with the chairs drop like $3,000 a ticket. And so I guess they figure they're not going to hit anybody with it. But that's a great point, Sean, that you bring that
up. And if you're a wrestling fan, you know how to work the chair and take a bump, so no one's going to hurt.
Right.
That's insane to me. But okay, carry on.
But it's been going on for a long time. Like, I'll never forget SummerSlam 07 I went to with a bunch of guys here, and we all got folding chairs. And I still have it in my house to this day. So it is
what do you do with it? You break it out for Thanksgiving? Dust it off?
Yes, actually. Yes.
Are you serious?
My aunt sat on Triple H's face for Thanksgiving a few years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, true story. The
sure
chair.
I'm sure he enjoyed it.
The chair I'm talking about.
What it smell like.
So the way it works is the event ends, and then you've got a wristband. They check your ticket, and then they snap like this plastic covering that keeps the seats together for you to take the seat.
Oh, so
during the event, the seat is not readily available for you to leave with.
So you can't leave early if you want to leave with the seat.
No, you cannot. In fact, I think Tommy and I went to an event in which I left early, and Tommy said, what are you going to do with the chair? And I was like, you know what, bro? You could take it. Yeah. I'm good. I'm going home.
Yeah, we went to AEW at Dynamite at Arthur Ashe.
Did you take my chair, by the way?
I did. It's still in my apartment.
Good for you.
You've ruined your apartment? That probably makes sense because those seats, they never want empty either, so it's probably good enticing. Keep the seats filled.
I never thought about it that way, but fair point.
Okay.
So the event is over. My kids are all excited. I got four tickets. My dad came. My two sons came. We're about to get our seats. All of a sudden, I think you said savages to describe wrestling fans?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They started ripping the chairs off of the plastic. And so I see this and I'm like, all right, maybe we should. Maybe that's what's happening today. So this young man comes over, I'd say in his mid-20s, and he says, let me help you with that. And I'm like, what? What a guy. That is so sweet. So he rips a chair off, hands it to me. At that point, I'm like, I'm good. I'll get the next one. He's like, no, I got you. Rips off the second chair. And before my dad and I realize, he left with it. He ripped it off.
Handed you one, got the second one, and booked it.
Yes, and my dad and I were so confused that by the time we realized he took the chair, not that we were going to do anything, he was long gone.
Wow.
At that point, security comes over. They snip the other chairs. And I am not complaining. I left with three chairs. Like, we're good. The guy who should be upset is Tommy because I was going to give him the fourth chair.
Unbelievable.
But here's my feeling on this whole thing. I'm good. I think Tommy at the end of the day will be good that he doesn't have a chair. What kind of human? What kind of savage? What kind of Jet fan? He sees I've got two kids and my dad's not getting younger. Let's call him an elderly man. And you rip the chair off so you take it? So here's my message to the guy out there. I don't want the chair back. I have no interest in the chair. But I just want you to think about your life and where you are. That you felt compelled on a Sunday night to come up to two kids, an elderly man, and me, and who knows what I look like, to rip off a chair and leave. What's wrong with you?
He found a group of four weak people.
Yeah, he
looked at
sucker.
You with two kids and an elderly man and said, this is the best they got to offer?
Question.
I'm going to help these pathetic people. And I'm going to swipe this chair out. And what's his life like? His life is that he's in his 20s at a wrestling event with no kids. He's a loser.
Is this the one with Cena and Cody on the chair?
Yes.
Oh boy. On eBay right now.
Yes.
There is a buy it now. For $1,000.
Wow. $1,000.
And I was going to give that to you because I would never sell. That's unethical. I would never sell the chair.
$1,000. You would never
no,
sell
it's a buy.
It.
No, I would never sell that chair.
No, it's a buy it now. So no, you have to get it for that or be your best offer.
Dude, you sell those three right now. Your net season tickets are covered.
I wouldn't do that. That's not the right thing to do. You don't sell those chairs.
It's a memorabilia.
Why is it not the right thing to do?
Well, first of all, I got them for free, the tickets. You would never sell something that you got for free. That's wrong. You should go to jail for that.
No, but I'm trying
what?
To.
Serious.
Maybe the guy took it to sell it.
No, he probably did. I'm just answering Sean's point that my interest was never selling it. My interest, I'm not kidding, even though Tommy thinks I am, was one for Jet, One for Spence. My wife wanted one in our little TV room, and I was going to give the fourth one to Tommy.
So your wife wants one of those in your TV room?
Yes, she thinks it's cool looking.
That's awesome.
I know.
You know,
I married her.
Evan, you know I'm on your side in this argument for sure, but you're not helping. Because what you just described to the audience was that you got several chairs.
Yeah.
One was going to go to your son, who is 3, give or take.
4.
4. And Jet, who is 6, give or take.
8.
And the other is your 40-year-old producer with no kids. So the fact that I am...
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you were good. But then when you got to that... And I would have loved the chair.
I'm sure you would have.
It kind of strengthens Sean's point. Not that I am a loser, but the fact that I am a 40-year-old that would like a chair with other men's faces on it so that I could put my dairy on the chair.
I actually think the bigger loser is not the person at the event, not the person selling. Imagine taking $1,000 out of your bank account and going online to purchase a chair you weren't at to what? Sit on something that somebody farted in for 4 hours watching
wrestling
matches?
Well, two things there. Number one,
how pathetic
you could flip the chair for more money, or you could get Roman or Cena to sign the chair and then sell the chair I'm telling you, this is probably what's going through these people's minds.
Forget the selling part. I do want to throw something at you before we get back to your calls. Basketball is the only sport this is going to work on. But what if the Nets, we'll use the Nets because the Knicks certainly don't have to do this. What if the Nets said all our courtside seats, much like pro wrestling, are now take-home seats? We're going to put a logo on of the Brooklyn Nets, maybe even the team they're facing with the date on it. And when you sit courtside, you get to take home the seat. You don't think sports fans would think that's the coolest thing in the world?
Yes.
In fact, did I not just come up with a brilliant idea?
You did, but...
Thank you.
There's going to be so many celebrities that are just like, why do I need to do this?
No, you're right. You run into the celebrity. But you could say the same thing about wrestling. There were a lot of celebrities at SummerSlam. I mean, so did, what's his name? I'm trying to think of a Russell Wilson.
Did he take home
his chair?
Knowing him, he probably did.
He probably did. Let's get back to some of your sports calls. Rick in Freeport, New York does not want to fire Aaron Boone. What's up, Rick?
Hey, Evans, Jesus, 57 minutes on hold. I've never been so patient in my life.
Well, here's the question. Is it going to be worth it for you and for us? That's the real
question. Well, hopefully it'll be worth it for me. I'm not sure it'll be worth it for you. But
I'm sure it will be.
A couple of things about the Yankees. Before I talk about the Yankees, let me just preface by saying I'm a very proud, long-standing, diehard Giants fan.
Oh.
Okay, and if you've been to a Giant game, whether they play the Redskins, Cowboys, or even your New York Jets, Giant fans are very passionate about their team. The fact that some of us like wrestling and some of us don't has nothing to do with money, has nothing to do with being a snob. I mean, you go to a Giant game, there's no men walking around in sport jackets and women walking around with their sweaters wrapped around their neck like you see out in the Hamptons. You don't see that at Giant game.
Fair enough.
You got to come to the suite level with me.
I'm not quite at the sweet level stage in my life yet, but getting back to the Boone situation, can you agree with me and the guys, Lugie and Sean could chime in, can you agree with me that the Yankees are not a team of battle-tested veterans like, say, the Dodgers or the Phillies? Would you agree with that?
Well, a lot of the veterans just played in the World Series last year. Is that not becoming battle-tested?
Well, and that's my second point. Would you... After the 2023 season, where they finished 82-80, then last year they make it to the World Series, do you think that that's possibly was an anomaly? Or maybe Soto had a lot to do with
that? No. I'll tell you why. Because I think that the Yankees were truly the best team in the American League last year. I think they were. And they backed it up in the postseason by going to the World Series. So I don't think last year was an anomaly. I think the year before that, they had flaws. I mean, they were a horrible offense outside of Aaron Judge. And, of course, Aaron Judge got hurt for an extended period of time.
But take that. They lose their star player, King Aaron Judge, okay, who wasn't King at the time, I guess. They end up falling out of it, missing the playoffs, then are the best team in the American League, make a World Series, lose in embarrassing fashion, come back to a fast start. I would argue all the ups and downs, that's the definition of being battle-tested, is it not?
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. And I think if you look at, I mean, let's just look at yesterday's lineup as an example. Their lineup for today has not come out. But yesterday's lineup featured Paul Goldschmidt. Is he battle-tested? Yes.
Yes.
Ahmed Rosario, I mean, he's been around the league. He's been on many different teams. I'd say he's battle-tested. Cody Bellinger, he's participated in a World Series. Battle-tested? Yeah. Giancarlo Stanton, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Slater, whatever. Jazz Chisholm, not really yet. I think Jazz, you know, he did get was on the team that got to the World Series last year. So I think he's on his way to being battle tested. Anthony Volpe, as much as we've crushed him, did hit a grand slam in the World Series. So the answer is, I think they are a battle tested team. And my overall point is, and maybe this is the difference that some Yankee fans may have with me, they're better than their record. I truly believe that. They are a lot better than the way they've played for 2 months. And I need to figure out, well, why? Why are they underachieving? Why? And sometimes when you can't find the answer, you try something. And I do think, as much as I hate firing the manager, and I like Aaron Boone, and I think he's done some good work while he's here, I look at this season and I say, I'm firing him. I'm trying to spark the team. That's what I'm doing. And it doesn't mean Aaron Boone sucked last year, or he sucked in 2019, or he sucked in 2018. I've been on a lot of arguments with people defending Aaron Boone's track record. It's not about that. It's not about arguing his track record. It's about, look at the state of the team right now. Look where they are. Look what their issues are. What are you going to do about it? Other than whining about it.
If they get swept by Texas and he is not fired, they're not firing him. I think that would be the end of the line.
Well, there's a difference between what I would do and what I think the Yankees are going to do.
They're not going to do it.
Let's go to Diego in East Meadow. Hey, Diego.
Hey, boys.
What's up?
Listen, I got to defend myself as a Giants fan that was there at WrestleMania with my beautiful wife. Granted, she might no longer go with me to any wrestling event ever again. But
it's like my wife, yes.
That's not the point of the story. But the people booing Russell, the building was 70-85% other than New Yorkers. Like, my whole section was Philadelphia Eagles fans and Buffalo Bills fans. Like, the New Yorkers aren't booing him. The building was 80% someone else. So, like, you can't take that for anything.
80%?
I don't think that's crazy. I think Diego laid it out, and I tried to before. You've got a lot of people that are not from here, and then New York, like, take New York on a basic level.
The traffic reports getting out of there would dictate there was not 80%.
That just because you're in traffic doesn't mean you live here. You may have rented a car. I mean, especially Philadelphia, you're driving back to Philly. Hear me out on this, and this is a broader discussion. When you look at football fans in New York, the percentage of them that are Giant fans is what?
I would guess like 50% because I'm giving more weight to a combination of other teams.
Absolutely fair guess, by the way. I think that is an absolutely fair guess. And I remember one time when I did a show with Governor Christie, and then I ditched him because every break I would leave, and I've been told over and over again that that was a big faux pas, which I've apologized for. But I remember when I was doing the show with the governor, and he was the governor at the time, we were talking about instituting a poll to see the official like breakdown of fandom in New York sports. And I'd be curious to see those results, but I think 50% is absolutely fair. You could say it's 50 Giants, 35 Jets, and the rest of the pool is everybody else.
Right, like 5% Cowboys, 10% every other team.
I actually think it's less than 50%. I don't mean that as a knock on the Giants.
I might be agreeing with you the more I think about the amount of Cowboy fans.
Yeah, there's a ton of Cowboy fans. So if you have accepted that less than half of New Yorkers are Giant fans, and you could at least accept that 60% of the building are not New Yorkers, the rest of the 40% cut in half gets you to only 20% of the building that are actual Giant fans, hence the 80-20 reaction.
Yeah, I would go even less.
How are we doing? Did I explain that?
I think you did. And my point would be, I think it's even less than 20% that were Giant fans based on Giant fans not being wrestling, picking nose people.
No, but it's not about being picking nose people and your unfair names you're calling people. It's just a mathematical breakdown of how many Giant fans actually exist in this town. That's all it is. If they represent about 45% of the New York sports fan, and we're accepting that less than half the people in that building were New Yorkers, that gets you to 20%. I know the math is complicated, Sean, but it makes perfect sense.
I'm following you.
You're not following me.
I am. Either way, we come to the conclusion Giants fans weren't there, luckily.
Why luckily? It's a fun show.
We need to represent ourselves well.
37-minute main event. You want my opinion on Lesnar? Do enough people care, or should I just move on from it?
Yeah, don't wait 45 minutes after the match ends to bring Lesnar out. How about that for starters?
It was right after. Here's what I'll say about Brock Lesnar. First of all, it takes a lot of balls for this company to bring him back as he's in the middle of this Janelle Grant lawsuit. So if they don't care about the feedback that a lot of people are going to give him, that's up to them. They have every right to do it, but they're going to get a lot of negative feedback. I'll say this as a wrestling fan. I have no interest in seeing Brock Lesnar. Doesn't do it for me. Now, will I admit that when his music went off, my 8-year-old screamed at the top of his lungs, not because he likes him, but because he was stunned? Absolutely. If you want shock value, totally great. okay. if that's what you want. But after that, he's got to wrestle. And after that, you got to answer questions about why you brought this guy back, considering some of the accusations in that lawsuit. Would I think it's worth it? I would not. If I was Paul Levesque, I would not have brought him back. That's just my opinion. So there you go. Tommy doesn't want to touch it. He feels it's controversial and it's a third rail or a fourth rail, so he's going to move on.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. The only I'm not justifying why they brought him back, but perhaps Cena in his final year said, I want to work with Brock, and they are just looking the other way, or I don't know.
Convenient excuse.
I agree. And if I'm
the WWE and that's what John wants, I'm telling him Cena later.
Ha!
So you set it up.
I will tell you something, and this is true, and this may feel mean or bad or however you want to interpret it. If a team decides to bring in a guy who's got bad accusations against them, whatever it is, you know how they decide if they're going to bring the guy in? Let's just be real talk, how good they are.
Okay.
That's correct. The world we live in. Correct. And it sucks, but it's true.
That's right.
If you're not that good, they're going to look at dirty accusations against you and say, not worth it. We're not signing that guy. But if you can hit a baseball hard, Marcelo Ozuna, they'll bring you back. If you can pitch and throw a baseball real hard despite waving a gun, they'll bring you back.
Yeah, you're right.
And so teams, and in this case a company, has to make a decision based on the positives of what that person brings and then the negatives of what they're accused of doing. And so, is he worth it? That's up to you. My answer is hell no.
Luckily, as a Giants fan, I don't have to care and investigate.
No, yeah, you've never had character guys. You never had bad character guys on your team, right? So, Sean, you've never had to make that decision. You've never named your daughter after any of those bad character guys, have you?
No. Your middle name isn't one of
I mean, no. Don't give me the holier-than-thou crap. We've all, as sports fans, dealt with it. This
Taylor
is not new.
Swift, guys. Taylor Swift. Right.
And by the way, you talk about Giant fans. Sean said, thank God they weren't at SummerSlam. Evan, would you agree that Cody Rhodes and John Cena was better than any Daniel Jones performance outside of the playoff game? Meaning that Giant fans have been going to MetLife Stadium to watch a lot worse product than what's going on past weekend.
You know why Cena and Rhodes was better?
It was great.
Because it's scripted. If only we could script some Daniel Jones starts, it'd be great.
Not every scripted wrestling match is good, Evan.
All you need to know is, late in the match, Jet looks at me. Match is crazy. You'll love this line, Tommy. And he says, they're trying to make up for WrestleMania, aren't they?
And they did.
I'm like, yeah.
That's a great job. That's a great line by Jeff.
That's a great line. So, yeah, it doesn't usually work that way. By the way, I got a great single for you. Not for today. You can do it whenever you want. 5 greatest events at MetLife Stadium. And here's the best part. None of them will be Jet and Giant games.
That's not true. Number 1 is the wild card game.
Okay, you got one.
What's number 2 is the Rangers-Islanders.
Is that a Jet-Giant game?
No.
Okay, that's my point.
Number 3 is the Super Bowl.
Right.
Counts as a Giant game because our quarterback won.
No, it doesn't.
That's number 3.
Then we got a WrestleMania or a SummerSlam. Yeah. Like, trust me.
You guys would have to answer that.
And you're going to say a country concert.
Yeah.
But the Super Bowl stunk. Just because it's a Super Bowl, it's on the list?
I think so.
You know what? Time out. Here's what we're going to do. I've already discussed it in my head. If you don't want to do it today, completely fine. We can do it tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow is a very short show because of the Yankee game. So maybe Thursday. We are going to have, for the first time ever, dueling Cinco de Fivos, in which Tommy and Sean will rank the 5 greatest, moments or events at MetLife Stadium. And we'll see how you do. And then we as an audience will don't give more.
I found a second giant one. It's definitely on the list.
Oh, can you save it? We're not doing it right now. Save it.
Christmas Eve.
Look at this guy. I was too excited.
Unbelievable.
You walked right into that one.
Unbelievable.
And Evan knew it, too. He's like, oh, God, I set it up for the cruise.
He wanted me to forget. That's
exactly.
What you wanted.
He wanted you to forget.
You wanted me to forget Christmas Eve 2011.
I'm sorry, Tommy. Becky Lynch winning that main event. I put over Victor Cruz. I got to tell you. Either way, that'll be Thursday on Evan and Tiki, because I don't think they have enough time to formulate strong lists by 5 o'clock. So Thursday, right? Okay. Oh, you're off, aren't you, Tommy?
Yeah, so let's do it a Thursday at 5 o'clock then. We're going to have to do it today. We have to do it next week.
I could do it. If you give me a half an hour, I'll wipe my list. I'll do it.
The Mets did make one lineup change that's notable. Starling Marte back in the leadoff spot against the left-hander Logan Allen. So we've seen a lot of Brandon Nimmo leading off. Early on when they made this change, Nimmo wasn't leading off against lefties. So today, with Marte in the lineup, and he's been productive, he's in the leadoff spot. Rest of it stays the same as the normal stuff, if you will. Tyrone Taylor back in the lineup in center field with Cedric Mullins, who's done nothing sitting. And the Mets try to snap the kind of their issues lately. 2-game losing streak, but they have not played well since their winning streak ended. Now let's get back to your telephone calls. Yankee fans, Met fans, a lot going on. I believe the Yankees should try to spark the team by firing the manager. I don't like saying it. I don't like doing it. But what else do you want to do in August with the team playing bad baseball? And they've been playing bad baseball for a while. Let's go to Joey Clams in Brooklyn. What's up, Joey Clams?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, Evan. I was a season ticket ranger for the Rangers, and when we used to leave out of section 416 and take the stairs down on the way out, we used to take the purple chairs. My mother had company. We had about six chairs around Easter time around the table over there with the purple seats. A very influential man from my neighborhood was up there sitting down in one of those chairs.
Wow, very
but
cool.
Listen, Evan, I hear what you're saying. And you're right, and I hear what Tommy's saying too, the same thing. But you can't have Brad Osmussen as the manager. He's the bench coach now. Either you're coaching it or you're letting it happen. This whole coaching staff is terrible. They gotta go. You gotta get the whole stench out of there.
But here's the thing.
You can't have this guy
as the
manager, and you can't have go ahead.
At the end of the season, if this season goes badly and they miss the playoffs, you're right. You fire the whole coaching staff. When you make a move in the middle of the season, that's not what you normally do. In the middle of the season, you promote from within. And I'm sure Sports Talk Radio in Philadelphia, when talking about the future of Joe Girardi, said, what's Rob Thompson going to do? I get it. It's not sexy. It doesn't jump out at you. But when you fire a manager mid-season, that's the logical thing to do. And it doesn't mean Brad Ausmus is some kind of magic. I get it. He was a mediocre manager in Detroit and Anaheim. But what you'd be trying to do, and it's worked before, is get the team going. And it's happened. It's happened more times than we like to admit.
I hate that I disagree with you because your point is true. I just think the times and specifically this Yankee team is so different than a team that gets jump-started by that because I just think their entire approach, organization down, doesn't allow for a manager to come in and make headways and change anything that leads to a spark.
Even if they don't change anything. You don't think the young players and even some of the veterans get a, whoa,
oh, wow, manager.
Hold on a second.
I don't think that Jazz Chisholm or Austin Wells don't make another base-running blunder. I don't think that suddenly Anthony Volpe's going to start hitting first baseman in the chest with throws. No, I don't think that changes.
Why has it changed so often when teams have fired their manager? Why do you think that happens? Like, just in general. And if you don't want to use the Phillies as an example, I guess I'll bring up the Met one with Jerry Manuel. They got sparked for 3 months after they fired Willie Randolph. And we all love Willie. And it wasn't necessarily Willie's fault. Why'd that spark the team?
I'm going to make an admittance here. I'd have to go deeper dive on those teams. But I would assume a lot of those teams that underachieved, and I specifically remember the Phillies ones, not scoring enough runs, pitching getting rocked, like basic baseball stuff that, you know what, teams can get hot and wake up. The Yankee problems are so like deep into their DNA that it goes beyond the easy baseball stuff that's fixed.
Chris is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Evan. Hey, guys. Ev, I enjoyed your cameo with Al on the weekend, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Ev, I need a little Mets therapy. I'm watching the game yesterday. As soon as it ends, I'm completely bummed. And the first thing that came to my mind was that was exactly the kind of game they would have won last year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, it doesn't help us to necessarily compare year to year, but if you look at last year, I was thinking about, look at the players that were getting those kinds of hits late in games. Obviously, we had Vientos, you had Iglesias, you had Winker who was healthy, and you even had Bader who got a couple big hits. Where are those hits coming from right now? And I know Lindor's gotten some, Pete's gotten some, Soto a few, but I don't see that consistent sense of, like, late game, really, really aggressive clutch hitting. And I'm getting concerned because it's August.
Well, they haven't gotten it. I mean, to answer your question, they're not getting it. You know, Pete Alonso is the one guy who's done it. But for the most part, they're not getting it. And here's all you need to know. Last year's Mets team, 162-game sample size, ended up scoring 4.74 runs per game. This offense is at 4.4. That's a pretty big difference.
Yeah.
Why? They added Juan Soto. I mean, ask yourself why. And Pete Alonso's having a better year. Ask yourself why, and you do have to go deeper into it, and you see, well, Mark Vientos hasn't had the same year. Like you, and really just the clutch hitting. Like that's the other big thing that is so different. But I agree with you, there have been a lot of games this season. You know, go back to Friday's game against San Francisco where they almost came back. There's a lot of games they lose where you say, boy, it felt like it would have been different last year. But I have another suggestion. How about you don't put yourself in a spot in which you're down 3-0 late to the Giants or 5-0 or 5-3 to Cleveland.
But that's what scares me, I think, long term about this Met team is it's one thing to say the runners in scoring position will be fixed. They're getting in holes early on, even with some of these, you know, the pitching. Senga hasn't been as sharp late. That still worries me with the Mets here is this rotation.
Steve is calling from Houston. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. What's going on, man?
What's up?
All right. With all the turmoil going on, Tommy and Sean, of course, great to speak to you. I think Met and Yankee fans can all agree. We need a drunk Rico where we can all just drown ourselves in our sorrow.
Yeah, so last year, and what I have done many times, it's actually a tradition now on the podcast Rico Bronya, is when I go on vacation, which I'll be doing in a few weeks. Yes, that's right, another vacation. Too bad.
Mike Francesa Jr.
By the way, I haven't even like hit half of what he would have done. But Mike earned it, so all respect to him. I get drunk one night, and I do a Rico Bronya. Now, I am the kind of drunk, and this is why my wife allows me to do this. I'm a lovey drunk, and I'm a make joke drunk. So I don't get mean or vicious. So last year's Rico Bronya, upon the Mets losing, upon being really drunk, was me, and you could find the audio, basically saying, come on, guys, we know this team ain't making the playoffs. Come on, what are we doing? So it's a cathartic thing to do a drunk Rico. I'm safe. You know, kids are sleeping. And the drunkenness brings out honesty in you. I don't do this very often. I'm not a big drinker. And so what Steve is suggesting is a drunk Rico for Yankee fans.
Might spark the team.
And I think it's a good idea, and I know who should host it. The law firm of Morash, McPherson, and McMonagle. Can you imagine those three Yankee fans, all very different in terms of how they view this team? Just getting wasted and then talking about the Yankees?
I, for one, would have a lot of fun.
So would I as a listener.
Look, I will say this.
Will you organize this?
I don't know about organizing because I have some laziness in me that has been pointed out. I think that we would have some logistical issues with all three of us having very different schedules on the air.
When you can all get drunk at the same time.
Exactly, because it's one thing to find a 15-minute window, but for us to be able to be inebriated, sleep after, and all of that can be tough. But if those two are open to getting banged up and doing a podcast, talking Yankee issues, and maybe it sparks the team, I'm in.
Now, I don't know Big Mac and Keith's personal life that much. So if they don't drink, I don't want to put pressure on them.
I know that Big Mac drinks.
Okay.
He drinks martinis every Friday night.
I don't want to imply that either of them do or don't because I honestly don't know.
I can't speak for Chris. I've been drunk with McMonagle enough to know he drinks.
I'm just asking. I don't want to put pressure on people because I'm not a big drinker. And in fact, most of the time I'm drunk doing a Rico. For that yearly drunk Rico edition. But it does bring out some brutal honesty. Like, you know what would happen on a drunk Yankee Rico? Big Mac, who basically works for Cashman and works for Boone, I think would turn on them in a drunk Rico. Like, I think Big Mac would become angry. He'd be an angry drunk. And he would just destroy the two guys he has spent a career backing.
The Yankees are a joke.
I could see that. I could totally see that.
That's the most excited I've been for a project in a long time.
You like that project?
The more I think about it, the more I want it.
And that was really an idea from Steve in Houston.
Yeah, I like it.
So we'll give that a try. When we come back, your phone calls at 888-808-1019. Sean has a Cinco de Fivo. And a lot of discussion about Devin Williams no longer being the closer. Okay, cool. Who the hell should the closer be?